We've been talking about intercessory prayer. We want to talk tonight about the restraining of prayer. That's not a good thing. Restraining of prayer. I would just say that when God intends to send a revival of power to the church and a revival to a nation, He sets His people to praying. This has just been noticed through history, that when there were people that were pleading with God for things to get better, for people to come to Christ, for people to accept the authority of the Word of God, they went to prayer. They called people together. They found like-hearted people. And sometimes over a noonday thing, businessmen would gather. Other times, just people gathering in a village and then bigger towns and so on. But He sets them to praying. And so, if we are restraining prayer, if you and I restrain prayer in our life, we're holding back revival, all these things. So I know you pray if you're saved. It's something that has to happen. But are you taking the time to get alone with God, that friendship we were talking about? Give yourself to earnest prayer. I start my day with prayer, but it's not a pleading prayer. I'm standing at the sink getting ready to take my vitamins and supplements, and but I'm just talking first to God. But else in my day, coming to just talk to God, and that's what we're talking about here. Elihu, one of Job's counselors, accused him of a great sin. Job 15:4, "Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God." What is he saying? You remember that they were accusing him of sin, an unknown sin, but a sin nonetheless that was evident because God was punishing him. That was not true, but that's what they were accusing him of. And then great Samuel, the prophet, assured Israel that he did not commit that sin, 1 Samuel 12:23. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord." How? "In ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way." Samuel was a teacher. He started, I think, the school of the prophets. We hear it after Samuel's there. And they began to go out and spread it around, and that's when revival came to Israel. The story of Achan, we want to focus in on that tonight. The story of Achan in Joshua 7 illustrates the victory over sin. Let's look at the victory over sin, the sin of neglecting dedicated intercessory prayer. Joshua 7:12, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you." Now God is saying, explaining to Joshua, that the reason they lost, the reason that people died in this battle, where they hadn't before, and wouldn't since after that, was that Israel had sin in its ranks that was unrepented of. So the story, verses 5 through 7. "And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their head. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content, dwelt on the other side of Jordan." So God has an answer for him, and it's not a gentle answer. Verses 10 to 13, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon your face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also. Dissembled is to lie about it. And they have put it even among their own stuff, hidden it in their tent. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Verse 13, Up, sanctify the people. Sanctify, make them holy. And say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. All right. They could not do what God had called them to do. They could not be victorious. And the reason was it was hidden sin. So in our lives, you and I can kind of find a balance where we do the Christian things and so on, but we're not fully giving ourselves over to the Lord. We excuse the things we want to do, and God says, can't give you my strength. So let's look at six thoughts here. Number one, the presence of God in your life is your only power against the enemy. If we are going to find victory over sin in our life, in the life of the people around us, we have to guard the precious presence of God in your life. Number two, the loss of God's presence always causes defeat and failure. It's not going to happen. There's no victory. There's no promise of victory when you're not holding on to the presence of God. If we apply this truth in our failure in work for God, we are led to see that it all goes back to our not standing in clear and full fellowship with God. Don't you think that probably that intercessory prayer, that special time alone with God, talking about what he wants, how he can use you, just the fellowship of friend with friend, that's sort of the characteristic of full fellowship with God. If we're not doing that, then we don't have that full presence. The third is this, hidden sin always causes the loss of God's presence. You know that he can't stand sin. It's absolutely opposite his very nature. The church complains about having so little power in the world. It is because of the lack of personal and secret prayer. The fourth thought is this, God himself will discover the hidden sin. When they started looking for it, God allowed them to draw straws, as it were, casting the lot, and it came to Achan, and he had to admit it. Compare Joshua 6:19, But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. That's what he said about Jericho. He said, now, you'll be able to have everything of all the other cities that you conquer, but this will be for me. This will be for my house. This will be for the decoration, for the expenses of my house. It'll be something that when you come to the house, you see the gold and the silver and whatever is there, and you say, this is beautiful. This is something that I enjoy seeing. So he said, so I'm going to take what Jericho has. Then in verse 7:11, Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. That was the covenant. That was the promise. See? For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. You know, when you don't give to God what he asks, he says, that was mine and you took it. You're stealing. and dissembled also, and pretended like it didn't happen. And they have put it even among their own stuff. So let God show you how neglect of prayer, perhaps other things, indicates unfaithfulness to true discipleship, true discipline, true following of God. The fifth thought is this: once God reveals sin, then go at it. It must be confessed and forsaken. Here's the promise, the threat. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You can't get ahead. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Even if you're not quite there, he says, I'll have mercy on you because I see you're working toward that goal. Come before God, confess your prayerlessness, confess your sin, then destroy it and put away the sin. We will rearrange our schedule and do whatever needs to be done. You know that's how we work. Something has to be done, and we might even have to rearrange our schedule to get it done. My wife and I were just dealing with the car. We had things hanging down and stuff. So we rearrange our schedule, get it taken care of. So we're driving it now, but we take it in tomorrow to spend the bucks to get it taken care of. And the parts have come in, so that's our schedule. So we know we do that when we know it's important. If you think this is important, then we will give ourselves up to God to live a life of prayer and faith. So will you give God what is due him? Will you love him enough to surrender, to let his will and grace have their way with you? Are you willing to do that? And finally, the sixth, with sin cast out, God's presence is restored. God's presence is restored. After Ai, where they failed, there is no more reference to defeat in Joshua. That didn't happen again, you see. God never speaks to his people about sin except with the purpose of saving them from it. His people, he deals with sin to awaken them and to get rid of it. The same light that shows sin will show the way out of it. The same power that condemns us will make it possible to conquer the sin.